Excellent. Well, good afternoon. And as Anthony said, happy Father's Day. Would you guys just celebrate the fathers that are out there today? Now, let me address just a couple things. Okay, because we came into this day, and for those of you who don't know yet, our gift to fathers this morning was a Yeti mug to be able to keep their coffee warm ongoing throughout their life. And we wanted to celebrate them in that way, but we knew, like, okay, this is a pretty good gift. We should buy twice as many as we usually give away at Father's Day. And we were out by the middle of the second service. Everybody was a dad today. I mean, every time we turned around, I'm a dad. You didn't know. I never told you this before, but I'm a dad. And we were flying through those things like you wouldn't believe. But if you're here and you didn't get one of these, just make sure you stop by the Father's Day table and we'll take down your name and we'll have one for you next week because we want to celebrate you. Now, the second thing that I want to address is some of you are here and you're moms and you're thinking to yourself, wait a second. Wait just a second. I came on Mother's Day and you gave me a chocolate-covered strawberry. And now this is what you're giving them. This doesn't add up. What is happening here? Well, let me explain something to you because this is actually really important. We walked out of Mother's Day, and one of the things that has been true about Hoboken Grace from the beginning is that when we say we're going to celebrate, we celebrate. And when we say we're going to celebrate, we go big. You guys hear us talking about this at baptism all the time, right? Like we're not into this like we're celebrating and we look like we're dying. That's not what we want to be true of us. We want to be authentic when we say that we're celebrating. And we walked out of Mother's Day and we realized that we'd kind of lost that. And we weren't who we used to be. Sometimes as you grow and you get bigger, you lose a little bit of who you were before. And so we sat down as a team and we said, that was awful. And we got to do a better job of that. So we decided that we're going to go big. Now, I understand fathers got the benefit of that at first. Okay, but you moms out there, I just want you to know it's coming. It's coming. And next year, it'll be there. But we do. We want to celebrate the dads who are with us today, and we hope that you enjoy that. If you haven't been with us right now, we're in the middle of a conversation called Celebrating Summer. And we're looking at how we can engage and approach the next couple months in such a way that when we get to the end of it and we look back, we have something to celebrate. That when we get to the end of it and we look at what's happened over the course of those 3 months, that we know him better, that we love him more, that rather than resting from him, that we've rested with him. That rather than becoming distant from him, that we're closer to him. And we've recognized that if that's going to be the reality, then we have to pay attention to the season. This is something that God's taught us at several points throughout the scripture, but our memory verse for this series is Ecclesiastes 3:1, where it says, for everything there's a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And we're looking at this principle that, listen, if you're going to thrive in the next season, you have to adjust your plan. You can't walk into the next season with the same plan. The plan of how you're going to pursue God and experience God that worked in the fall isn't going to work in the summer because it's a different season. And this is true with seasons of life, and it's true with seasons of the year. And so we're saying, okay, how do we engage this next season? Be wise in understanding the principle of seasons and adjust our plan so that we can thrive in it, so that at the end of it, we can celebrate it. Especially as it pertains to those essential tools, the essential tools that God's given us for us to experience him and to know him and to love him. And so last week we started off and we looked at the scriptures and how we engage the scriptures, and we brought in some new ideas of how you can engage the scriptures throughout the summer. And I was really encouraged. I was really encouraged coming out of last week. Literally hundreds of you downloaded the Right Now subscription and you've started to begin to use that, which is awesome. Last week we posted our rhythms explanation and some of you are beginning to use that meditation passage in your life. Today on our Facebook page, we're going to be linking to the Bible experience so that you can download and listen to that. And some of you found it and some of you didn't, which is why we want to link to it today because many of you have asked, hey, I can't find it, the Bible experience audiobook that you were talking about. And so we're going to link to that on Facebook. You say, I don't have Facebook. It doesn't matter. You can still see our Facebook page, so you'll be able to see the link there. And so I encourage you to go and to download that and begin to utilize that way of engaging the scriptures. And today what we want to build on that. So we've looked at the crucial tool of God's word and how we develop a plan of engaging that and experiencing that throughout the summer. But then I want to introduce you to or talk about another tool today. And this one I don't think you're going to expect. I think last week's you knew that was coming. But this one I don't think you're going to expect, because not many of us think about this as a crucial tool. We just think about it as a part of our life or something that we experience, but we don't really look at it as a tool. Because the tool that I want to talk to you about today is music. Yeah, I can see from your faces. You didn't expect it. You're like, wait a second, what? An essential tool. Music, what are you talking about? It's really remarkable. Music is really important to God. Is really important to God. Have you ever thought about the fact that God takes an entire book of the scriptures and dedicates it to songs? Some of you don't know that's what Psalms is. Psalms, because we read it like a book and we read through it that way, it's actually songs. It was songs for the nation of Israel to use to celebrate God. And God takes an entire book of the scriptures and he dedicates it to music, to songs. A couple years ago here at Hoboken Grace, we were trying to figure out what to do with music, because inside of our culture, there's been a shift. So it's highly unlikely that last night you guys went out to go sing. I would bet that most of you didn't go out last night and say, hey, listen, let's go find a place where we can sing. And you say, well, no, people don't do that. Well, they used to. It used to be that you would frequently go to a bar or a pub and you would sing and there'd be someone playing pianos. It was very much a part of culture that you would sing. But now nobody really does that. Even if you look at the change in Hoboken over the course of the last 10 years, 10 years ago, there would be many places in town where you could go and hear live music and there'd be people singing along. It's very rare to find those things anymore. Our culture has shifted. For most of you, you don't sing except for when you're here. It really the only time in your entire life that you sing around other people. I'm not talking about in the shower. I'm talking about around other people. The only place that you sing is here. And even for some of you, you don't sing when you're here because you're afraid they're going to hear you. And we try to keep the music loud enough where they can't hear you. We don't want to hear you either, but we want you to be able to celebrate God. But it's not a natural part of our culture anymore. And our culture has really shifted. So we looked at it and said, well, why are we singing? For a lot of people, you walked in here for the first time and you're like, what is going on? All these people are singing. And it's a little bit frightening because you don't know the words. And how do they all know the words? It's like, have you ever thought about if you were in a musical? I think it would be one of the most terrifying things in the world. If you're just walking down the sidewalk and then everybody around you breaks into song, they all know it. That's awful. That's incredibly frightful. And for some of you walking into church, it's kind of like that. You're like, whoa, whoa. And then these people up front are encouraging you to sing. It's really uncomfortable for some people. And so we said, why are we doing this? And maybe we should stop doing it. Maybe it doesn't fit our culture. So we began to dive into God's word and just say, okay, what does God's word say about this? And do we do this just because it's tradition? Because if the only reason we do it is because of tradition, that's not a good reason to keep doing something. Or is there more to it? And when we began to work through the scriptures, we saw that, wow, music is really important to God. It blew me away personally. I'd never seen this before. And what we saw is really powerful, that one of the ways that God experiences affection is through music, which is why frequently when God talks to us about how we step into his presence, he talks to it about praise and singing. So let me take you to one of those places. Psalm 100 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. And it's not just talking about praising, like just saying things. It's talking about this idea of music. When you look in Revelation and you see God's presence, he's surrounded by singing. He loves to be celebrated in that way. A couple of weeks ago in our love conversation, I talked to you about the way that my wife experiences affection and how I have to work to understand that so I can show her love. these ideas of holding her hand and the way that she experiences gifts. Well, one of the things that we found out as we looked at scriptures is that God experiences affection. He experiences love when he's celebrated through music. It's really remarkable. And so we said, well, it's got to continue to be a part of what we do. Why? Because we always do it? No, because we want to show God love the way that he calls us to love him. So you walk in here on a Sunday afternoon, we don't do music because we think that you're really going to enjoy it, and we don't sing songs so that you learn new things. We do what we do, music, because we want to love him really well. And we invite you into that, not for what you're going to get out of it, but for what he can experience in it. And at the end of the day, we want him to know that there's nothing that we celebrate more than we celebrate him. And if that's the way that he experiences love, we want to do that as much as we can, as powerfully as we can. It's really remarkable. It's really remarkable. And God calls us to this over and over again. And I think that's the primary reason, but I don't think it's the only reason. Because you see, I think that God knows, and God wants for us to understand the power of music as well. So there's a couple different places in the New Testament where it talks about the power of music in our lives. The first one that I want to take you to is found in Ephesians chapter 5. It's really, really amazing passage where he's talking to them about changing the way that they live. And then as he's talking about changing the way that they live, he calls them to practice something. Listen to what he says. He says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. We've been talking about this through the series, right? We don't want to come to the end and look back at our summer and see that we've lived like a fool. He says, don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he gives them the first action point. Everything has been don't, and then he gives them the first action point. And listen to what he says. Listen to what he tells them to do. He says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really, that is the last thing that you would expect him to say. For most of us. He says, listen, I want you to change the way that you live. I want you to make sure that you don't live foolishly, but you live wise. And so I want you to live your life in tune with, filled with God's Spirit. And then he gives them the first action point. He says, so what I want you to do is I want you to sing. And I want you to engage music. And this isn't the only time that he talks about this. When you look in the book of Colossians, it talks about this as well. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. He says, I want for the message of Christ to fill your lives. Well, how do you do that? Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. So he talks about teaching and the importance of that. And then he says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. He says, not only do I want Christ, the truth of Christ to fill your life through teaching, but he says, I want the truth of Christ to fill your life through music. Well, you didn't see that coming. What? And I believe the primary reason why God calls us to celebrate him through music is because that's the way that we get to love him, and that he experiences being loved in that way, and he loves to be celebrated in that way. But I think the secondary aspect, there's more to it than there's a secondary aspect, and that is this: God understands the power of music, and he wants for you to understand it too. Listen, music shapes you. Music has the ability to shape you, and music has tremendous influence in your life. Has tremendous influence in what it is that you're becoming. This isn't a new idea. This is something that's been known for a very long time. It was interesting, as I was researching this and preparing for today, I came across a quote from Plato. This is Plato talking about the music of his day. He says, this new music is promoting the moral degeneracy of our adolescents. It's like Plato's "get off my lawn" phrase, right? Like, what are you, 80 years old, Plato? But he's talking about this and saying, look at the power of music, and look at what it's doing, how it's shaping, how it's influencing these kids. We've known this for a very long time, but most of us, we ignore this principle that there's power in music. There's power in music, and God knows it. And God wants for us to understand it. And so he says, I want you to change how you live. Well, how? I want you to pay attention to music. I want you to sing and celebrate who God is. I want for the fullness of Christ to fill your life. Well, how? I want for you to sing and celebrate who God is. It's remarkable. And for most of us, we've never thought about it. We've never thought about it. But music has a unique power. Has a unique power because music has the ability to do something that very few things have the ability to do, at least to the extent that it does it. And that is this. Jesus calls you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because in that moment when he's calling us to that, he's saying, listen, you need to understand the holistic, how you are a holistic being. You need to understand you're not just mental, you're not just emotional, you're not just physical. He says, so when you engage God, I want you to engage God with all of who you are. One of the unique things about music is that music gives you the ability to be able to engage all of the aspects of who you are at the same time. It's one of the things that makes it really powerful. And if you have any questions about the power of music, look at the great movements in history. The great movements in history all had music. There's music that they were using to help shape those who are a part of those movements. Because there's something about music, it brings together all of who you are. So when we sing that song about Jesus' name, what a powerful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, you're intellectually interacting with the truth. You're intellectually interacting with the truth of those words, with what's being said. But then there's also the fact that you're physically proclaiming something. You're physically communicating something. And then as well, there's an emotional aspect to music. It engages your heart. It's not just physical and intellectual. It engages your heart. I frequently talk to people, and they say, I come in on Sunday morning, the music starts, and I just start crying. I just start crying. I said, that's what we do. We help people cry. But there's something about it. It engages your heart. It's not just your mind and your body. It engages your heart. And all of a sudden, music gives you the ability to synchronize those things in a way that very few things do. And all of a sudden, your body and your mind and your heart, they're all proclaiming something. It's powerful. It's really powerful. And in the scriptures, God's been trying to draw our attention to this. Say, make sure that you utilize this tool. Because music has incredible influence, incredible ability to shape you. And throughout this series, we've been talking about influence, right? Pay more attention to the friends that you make than the books that you read, because they're going to influence you. Influence is more powerful than information. And music has incredible influence. And then when you begin to look at the world that we live in, this is more true for you, or the impact of this on you is greater than anyone who's ever lived. I hope you understand this. Because you engage music more than any other generation in history. It's not even close. It's not even close. When you want to listen to something, it's available right then. It used to be if you wanted music, you had to get a bunch of people together and make music. I hope you understand this, because I know this service in particular is usually very young. And you probably think the world's just always been this way. That's the way it is. Whatever you grow up in, you think the world has just always been this way. Music, over the course of my lifetime, has changed drastically as far as its engagement in our lives, as far as its availability. I remember when I was a kid and these things called records came out. How many of you even know what a record is? Right? There's like four of you that I've ever seen one. Although they're beginning to come back in the mixing world. But I remember my mom would bring out her record player, and she had her records. My mom loved music, and she put that record on. And we knew once that record was on, you better not run in the house. Because you run in the house, that record's going to skip. You're going to scratch my records? You're going to scratch my records? You stop running in the house. You knew. But then we're like, oh, the record thing doesn't work. We're going to create cassettes. We're going to have tapes. And the greatest thing about tapes is that there was like a 3-foot by 3-foot box that you could attach to your belt, and you could carry those tapes around with you, and you could listen to them at any time. But again, you better be careful when you're running, because if you jolt it too much, it's going to eat that tape. You spend the next 3 days rewinding that sucker. Forever. Then, that wasn't good enough. Quality was terrible. So we created the disc. Then you got to carry a Discman. Right? You remember that? How many of you had a Discman? Oh, yeah. You made it. You made it when you got your Discman. But again, you couldn't run with that thing. No way. It was a whole generation. We learned how to do like the old people speed walk in the mall. You're like just walking really fast, because if you move too fast, that thing was going to skip as well. It's funny. For most of us, we grew up listening to music in 15-second chunks. 15 seconds, and then it'd have to reset itself. And then 15 seconds, and then the disc would have to reset itself. You're driving in the car, you hit a bump, you wouldn't have music for the next minute. But then they created these things. And music was with us all the time. All the time. The best music in the world with us all the time. I was working a football camp down in North Carolina this week. And there were 900 teenagers who were part of this camp. And I sat in the back of the auditorium as the camp began, and almost every single one of them had their headphones tucked behind their ear. Almost every one of them. And they live almost every moment of their lives with music. It's never been like this before. Never. And it's not just that it's always with you, but then you have access to everything. When you had that Discman, you had like 3 discs. That's all you could afford. And you just listened to those same discs. And maybe you got up to like 24, but you couldn't carry them with you. I know every single word to The Lion King, because I must have listened to that disc a billion times. I know it's embarrassing, but it's reality. But now you can pull up any song at any time. For those of you who don't know, for those of us who are older, we had to spend hours on Napster to build that kind of library. Hours! Now it's right there, all of it. Any song at any time. And it's constantly with us. For some of you, for many of you actually, because again, this service is a little bit younger, for those of you who are in your 20s, for many of you, you don't go more than an hour of your day where you're not listening to music. It's remarkable. And you wake up to music, and you're getting ready, and Alexa's playing you music. And you put on your headphones, and you're on your way to work, and you're listening to music. And then you get to work, and there's music playing over the sound system. And then you put your headphones in and go back. It's part of almost every second of our lives, and it's only getting more and more and more and more, and it has tremendous influence on us. Tremendous. It shapes us. And you say, no, not me. I don't listen to the words. I just, any time in life where you say, no, not me, I'm the exception, you should be terrified. There are no exceptions. Life doesn't work that way. A fool says he's the exception. It influences us. It's shaping us. And God has said, listen, music can be a really powerful tool for the truth of Christ to fill your life. Because it shapes you. And I don't bring this to you today. I don't bring this to you today to talk about what you need to stop listening to. Although there's truth there. Because the reality is, if you walk into the summer and you're filling your life with music that's celebrating foolishness, if you walk into the summer and you fill your life with music that's celebrating foolishness, you are planning to be a fool. You say, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. If you're giving that much influence to voices that are celebrating foolishness, you're planning to be a fool. Many of you have heard me talk about my battle with porn and overcoming porn in my past. One of the most significant changes I made in overcoming porn is that I changed what I listened to. Because I realized that the majority of the music that I listened to was constantly talking to me and celebrating sex. And it was developing in me an unhealthy sex drive, an unhealthy way of looking at women, an unhealthy way of looking at sex in general. And I had to change what it was that I was constantly filling my mind with in order to change how I live my life. It influences you. Don't for a second think that it doesn't. But I don't bring it to you to talk about what you should leave behind. I bring it to you because what an amazing opportunity. What an amazing opportunity. And the writer of Colossians is saying, listen, fill your life with the truth of God through music. You have the ability to do that like nobody before. Like no one who has ever lived. You literally have the ability to consistently fill your life with music that points you to who he is and what he's done and how he loves you and the truth of the world around you. It's remarkable, and I think we're missing out on an opportunity here. I'm missing out on an opportunity to be able to seize this tool, this incredible tool, and to bring it into our lives to help us to love him better, to follow him better, to love the world around us better, because we're filling our life with the truth of who he is and what he's done. And so as we come together today and we're talking about the months ahead of us, my challenge to you is a little bit strange. It's a little bit strange, but I think it's powerful, maybe more powerful than we understand. And that is this. I want to challenge you to create a playlist for your summer. To create a playlist for your summer. Now you go into it and say, okay, I'm going to intentionally use music to fill my life with truth. I'm going to intentionally use music to help me get where it is that I want to go and where I know God has taken me. I'm going to be intentional about that. Here at Hoboken Grace, we put together several different playlists for you to be able to look at and for you to be able to use. In order for you to be able to see them, all you need to do is text Spotify. Go ahead and take your phones out. I told you before, I've been telling you, make sure you have your phones out. I know some of you are like, oh, I don't use my phone in church. We do. We use it all the time. We're going to use it even more as we go into the next year. So pull out your phone, text Spotify to that number. We'll text you back a link. And there's all sorts of playlists there. You say, I don't use Spotify. You can still see the songs and then pull them up on Amazon Music or iTunes or whatever else it is that you use. And I'm not saying to you, listen, don't get me wrong on this. I'm not saying to you, like, go into this summer and only listen to Christian music. That's not what I'm saying to you. Because I think there's a lot of music out there that helps you to be able to engage God, even though it may not have been written for that intention. So, for example, one of the greatest worship songs in my life right now is the song Brand New that we sang at Easter, because every time I sing it, every time I hear it, it reminds me of what God did in my life. That I've been made new, that this reality is true for me. One of the albums that I'm listening to more than any other album right now, I've just been listening to it on repeat over and over and over again, is the soundtrack to The Greatest Showman. If you haven't heard it, it's remarkable. It's amazing. I know some of you are thinking, wow, you got a weird thing for soundtracks, Chris. Lion King, Greatest Showman, what's up with this? Odd coincidence. But you say, well, that entire soundtrack was written about a guy who started a circus. How does that help you? But the reality is all of the music, it's about dreaming. It's about dreaming of what could be. It's about seeing what's not. It's about the possibility of what could happen in the world. And I listen to that soundtrack and I dream of what our church could be. I dream of who I could be as I follow Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to you is this: build a playlist, build a soundtrack for your life, because you have a soundtrack for your life right now. Build a soundtrack for your life that is representative of who Jesus created you to be. A soundtrack that points you and pushes you to who it is that he's called you to become in the life that you are created to live. Take advantage of the tool. What a remarkable tool, and what a remarkable time to live when it's so available to us and so accessible in ways that it's never been before. Take advantage of it. But I don't think that this is just powerful for us as individuals. I also think that this is really powerful for us collectively. And so not only do I want to challenge you to build that playlist, but then also one of the things, and you hear it in those two passages, one of the things that's really powerful is not just the music that we're intaking, but how we celebrate musically together, how we celebrate here in this space on Sunday mornings, and how we're able to love him through the way that we're singing to him. And I realize that this summer is going to take you a lot of different places. And you're going to go on vacation here, and you're going to visit family, and you're going to be, and all of those things are really, really good. You need to do that. You need to love your family, and you need to rest. Vacation is important. But all I'm saying is this, when you're here, be here so that we can celebrate together. And for those of you who are listening on live stream right now, a block from here, you're missing out. Like, you're missing out. Be here. When you're here, be here. When you're there, watch on live stream. When you're here, be here. So that we can celebrate him together in music. And the power of us doing that together is remarkable in our lives. Don't underestimate it. Don't underestimate it. We can engage this next season in such a way that we look back and celebrate it. We got to change our plan. Change our plan. Take advantage of the tools that are available to us. So that rather than music taking us away from him, that it can draw us towards him. May we take advantage of this incredible gift that God's given us. And may it shape us to be who it is that we were created to be able to love him better, to be able to love our neighbors better, for the world to see his love better, because of how we engage the next 3 months. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the incredible gift and tool of music. And Father, I pray that as we walk out of here today, that we wouldn't take this for granted, that we wouldn't ignore it and its influence in our lives, but that we would seize the opportunity that we have to literally fill our lives, to fill our lives with music that points us towards you, that reminds us of you, that calls us back to you over and over and over again. And as a result, Dad, we pray that we would love you better, that we would love the people around us better, and that the world would see the truth of your love through us. In Jesus' name, amen.